morning and welcome to the Breakfast Show on Faith FM. You're listening across Australia on 87.6, 87.8 or 88 depending on where you are, or of course on our Faith FM app. I am your host, Joseph Scaffin. I'm in the studio with Brett and Shell. Lawson is not here. He's skipped out and he's gone to the beach today. So tomorrow we can ask him all about his field trip.
Excellent.
Good morning, Brett.
Good morning.
Good morning, Shell.
Good morning.
That's great. I have a quote for you, Brett.
Excellent.
Are you a man of prayer?
Do
you
like
to pray?
I do.
I'll challenge you with this quote then. Tell God all that is in your heart, as one unloads one's heart, its pleasures and its pains to a dear friend. Tell him your troubles, that he may comfort you. Tell him your longings, that he may purify them. Tell him your dislikes, that he may help you conquer them. Tell him your temptations, that he may shield you from them. Show him the wounds of your soul, that he may heal them. Lay bare your indifference to good, your depraved taste for evil, your instability. Tell him how self-love makes you unjust to others, how vanity tempts you to be insincere, how pride hides you from yourself and from others. If you thus pour out all your weaknesses, needs, and troubles, there will be no lack of what to say. You will never exhaust the subject, for it is continually being renewed. Therefore, Shell, people who have no secrets from each other never want for subjects of conversation. Isn't that right? And the quote goes on and says, they do not weigh their words, for there is nothing to be held back.
That is an excellent quote.
All right. So in today's show, we will have Rediscovering Lost Treasures. We'll talk about Kanye West having issues with Jesus. We're going to have an interview with John Benegas, a new principal of a new school that's coming up. And of course, we will dig deeper into the Psalms and talk about what true worship really is.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
And now we are going to go to our news, good news segment, but first, our quiz of the day. Brett, what is the question
that
you're
going
to throw to our listeners?
Absolutely. Question one, where will the great feast of the marriage supper of the Lamb be spread? That's a pretty epic title, isn't it? The Great Feast of the Marriage Supper of the Lamb. Sounds pretty awesome.
Wow.
But where will it be spread? Where's it going to be set up?
I mean, it's not only a feast, but it's also great.
Yeah.
And
the great feast.
It's like the ultimate party.
Yeah. Ever. I haven't had breakfast yet. I could use a great feast.
Yes.
You know, how good would that be? Like,
but imagine
the great
the
feast
food,
of the marriage of the supper of the Lamb. That's even
but
better.
But imagine what kind of food they would be serving. It was going to be amazing.
Mm.
Imagine the celebration with the best people in the universe, all reunited together. Where is that going to be?
Yeah. Where is it going to be? So if you know the answer, text through to 0491-064-669. Every correct answer on today's quiz, like every individual answer, puts you in the draw to win our two awesome prizes at the end of the week.
Which are?
God Cares. It's a two-volume set. There's God Cares, the Message of Daniel, and God Cares, the Message of Revelation. And, you know,
fantastic
Daniel and Revelation.
Commentaries.
Yeah. Yeah, Daniel and Revelation are like two incredibly timely and important books.
Yes, if you want to understand what's going on in the world today, you cannot not understand Daniel and Revelation.
Oh, 100%. Like the prophecies in there shed so much light on our past, what we're going through right now, our present, and our future.
Yes.
And so these commentaries, they're really going through in detail. They're unpacking these things and talking about why these prophecies are still relevant today.
And
it's so important because these books, at a first glance, they might be a bit tricky to understand, right? I remember when I first read the Bible when I was 13, I remember reading like Revelation and thinking, what's going on here? I have no understanding. But
you
when
need
you really
someone,
get into it,
yes, you need someone to guide, to show the way, and then all of a sudden, oh, okay, now I can grasp this.
100%.
So where will the great feast of the marriage supper of the Lamb be spread? Is it going to be in Currumbong?
I guess we're going to ask our listeners that question.
Currumbong, New South Wales would be a great place.
Yeah.
But I do not think it's going to be here, unfortunately.
So
where is it going to be? Send your message, send your answer to 0491-064-669. And now the good news, Brett, what do you bring for us? Good You're news. Talking about rediscovering lost treasures.
Yeah, so just a couple of interesting stories in the news today about rediscovering lost treasure. The first one is actually about a ship. Have you ever heard of an English ship called the Royal Merchant from the 1700s?
Sorry, 1600s. Tell me more about it.
Well, it was known as the El Dorado of the Seas. This ship had a huge amount of treasure on it on its way from Mexico to England. So it had 100,000 pounds of gold, 400 bars of silver, and 500,000 pieces of eight. So we're talking a lot of treasure. In terms of English dollars at the time, it was described in Parliament as 300,000 pounds in silver and 100,000 pounds in gold,
wow,
and as much again in jewel. So this is in the reign of King Charles I. Parliament actually was stopped for the day to sort of commemorate the loss of this ship. And Charles I spoke of it as the greatest loss ever sustained in one ship.
Oh, wow.
It's a massive economic loss. What happened, right?
So do you know what kinds of dollar amounts we're talking for this day and age?
Yeah, just so we're talking like hundreds of thousands of pounds back then, right? In modern American dollars, we are talking $4.3 billion.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That is significant.
We give Elon Musk a run for his money almost, right?
Yes.
We are talking pretty large amounts of money here.
Wow.
All at the bottom of this ship.
So much for the old adage of never put all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah, well, evidently Charles
They learned it the hard way. Well done, 17th century people.
Yeah, but there's now an effort to rediscover it. So we're talking a multi-million dollar effort by like expert treasure hunters using multi-beam technology. So this
Oh, wow.
is like remote controlled, unmanned submarines going as deep as they can go. Each of them costing around $3.8 million. So this group is investing a lot of money in interest of this return.
Wow.
And they are very confident they will find this ship. So it is yet to be, they have not yet found it, but they reckon they're narrowing down the search. And it's just an interesting bit of news, right? That after all these years, a great treasure might be rediscovered. On a smaller note, is one that I just found really cool. I'm a big history nerd, Joseph. I've said before that on the show that I used to be a history teacher. Like, history is just my bread
and butter. That's
great. I love it. Part of why I love Daniel and Revelation, mentioning that earlier. But, you know, history is just really cool. And this is a more local one of just a bit of treasure discovered. But have you ever heard of magnet fishing?
Magnet fishing?
Mm.
No, I haven't. This apparently, is new to me.
Apparently it's like a big thing in the UK. I'd never heard about it before today or before yesterday. But magnet fishing is, it's kind of like metal detecting,
yes,
but on a new level. They get high-powered magnets, literally on like ropes and stuff. And they trawl through water trying to find any lost metal things.
Oh.
And it can be a dangerous business because apparently sometimes they find like
bombs or
old bombs and old grenades and things.
Explosive ordinances from previous wars.
So it's a bit of a, in a funny way, it's like
hobby.
An extreme sport. Yeah. High-risk hobby. But anyway, this one magnet fisherman has found one of the oldest examples of a Viking sword ever discovered. So we're talking like the Vikings, they came raiding England in the mid-700s, you know, and they stayed for a good long while after that. It wasn't until really the thousands that the Dane law part of England was fully English again, I suppose. And, you know, so the Vikings had a pretty interesting impact on English history. But yeah, this guy has found a sword that is well and truly over 1,000 years old that seems to have been just like buried in mud at the bottom of this river. And I thought it's a bit of a simpler story,
wow,
but it's a nice little story. He's happy
to
found this sword.
I wonder what that sword has actually seen.
What has it seen,
as
right?
far as action goes, yes.
Yeah, and it's remarkable that it survived that long because the Vikings were actually pretty bad at making swords. Their actual forging techniques compared to the rest of Europe at the time.
They kind of they're great at chip making and
woodcrafts. They had some remarkable stuff. And I mean, their navigation skills were remarkable. The fact that they were the first Europeans to make it to America even, and the fact that they had a major influence even on the founding of Russia, the Vikings, like by traveling the rivers, they were really quite good in many areas, but their swords were, they mixed a lot of slag in. They didn't separate like everything properly. And so their metal was often a bit weak and breakable.
Oh yes.
So it's definitely a Viking sword in that sense too. It's a bit imperfectly forged. So the fact that it's been, preserved this long is pretty cool. And I guess that makes me think of, in terms of finding ancient treasure, right? One of the most remarkable ancient treasures is something that we have access to today. And at the risk of sounding cliche, it's the Bible, right? And I'm not saying it as a cliche, like, yeah, wow, this is just an ancient treasure we all have. But in a very literal sense, it is remarkable that the Bible has survived as long as it has. We're talking like books that date well back into the earliest eras of mankind almost, surviving to the present day. And when books written by people who were arguably more influential in a worldly sense have not survived. For example, Emperor Claudius, who was he reigned after, he was the emperor before Nero, so he reigned in that that revelation kind of like Acts of the Apostles kind of era of the Bible. Emperor Claudius is said to have written multiple history books. Now, this is a Roman emperor, the most powerful man in the world at the time. He wrote books on the Carthaginians, the Etruscans, and the Romans themselves. None have survived. We don't have any of Emperor Claudius's books, right? Because ancient books, ancient records, they go missing if people don't preserve them. They disappear from the record. And while we've got writings of people mentioning or even referencing Claudius's books, we don't have Claudius's actual work. But we do have the Bible. And we have the Bible that dates back far, far further. I'm thinking the Dead Sea Scrolls, for example. Are you familiar with the story of that?
I am. Mm. It's one of my favorites.
It is so cool, just the chance of that. But, you know, the previous Hebrew version of the Old Testament that had been used in Bibles was actually, it was a medieval text, the Masoretic texts, written by Hebrew scholars, Jewish scholars who were in diaspora. And so a lot of people used to say, well, is this really the inspired text? Because it was rewritten by Jewish scribes years later.
Yes.
But the Dead Sea Scrolls, when they were discovered, which date back to around 200 years before Jesus' time, these texts are pretty much word for word identical with the Masoretic text. But some people will say, like, if you Google it online, they'll say, oh, there's all these differences. Those differences are pretty much only spelling mistakes.
Yes.
So, you know, or spelling variations. In terms of the actual content, it's the same stuff. So I guess just to reinforce it, it's remarkable that the Bible's even gotten into our hands, you know, and that I think shows divine protection and divine, like, yeah, just God's blessing over scripture. Yeah. So I just really want to reinforce
it. It's so relevant as well.
Yeah.
The content is so absolutely current.
Yeah. Yeah. So in terms of treasure that we've got, like ancient treasures, there are treasures older than the ones I've mentioned today, and more important and more relevant to our lives that can be found right in your Bibles today. So read it. Think about how valuable it is that it even survived all of this persecution, all this stuff, all the efforts to stop it. It's still there. You've got your Bible.
You're listening to the Breakfast Joe podcast on Faith FM. Positively different.
And we would like to know, what is your most treasured possession?
Mm.
I want to know from our listeners, what is that one thing that you have that is a treasured possession to you? Send us a text message to 0491-064-669, and we're going to compare and see what is our most valuable treasures and possessions. But now, I have a second quiz. Brett, what questions do we have?
Question two. What unique characteristic did the land of Havilah have, according to Genesis? So was it A, gold, B, balm, C, figs, or D, olive oil?
Okay, so the land of Havilah, which is current day what? Ethiopia?
Mm.
Around that, or Arabia?
Yeah, around that area, I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
What is it famous for? We're going to look here. Brett is going to look on his computer. He is a historian. He's going to explain to us where Havilah is. And we want to know if they're famous for their gold. Ah,
apparently it's in Sudan.
Bomb.
So there we go.
Sudan, there you go. Figs or olive oil.
Mm.
So if you know the answer, 0491-064-669. And that will get you a ticket into our draw of our amazing prize, which is what, Mr. Brett?
We have two awesome books, a two-volume set, both called God Cares, one about the message of Daniel and one about the message of Revelation. So these books in the Bible, Daniel and Revelation, they're so important. Why would you say they're super relevant for us today? Like, if you had to, like, sum it up in a sentence, Joseph, why would you say Daniel and Revelation? Why do we need to know it?
I think we need to know it. You know when you go to a shopping center and you see these "you are here" big maps signs? I think that knowing prophecy tells us where we are in the great scheme of human history.
Mm.
And when we know them, not only we can be confident that God is in control of history, but as we look past and we see prophecies having been fulfilled, this also gives me confidence that we're dealing with a supernatural, trustworthy book, the Bible.
Yeah, emphasizes our trust in God, right? Like the fact that we can trust God. Personally, when I came to the church, like that was such a big thing for me because I'd sort of looked at God and history as two separate things. But combining, when you really look at the prophecies, you can see that God has been across it. He's been with humanity, with his people, across the history of humanity and in going into the future. So yeah, get your hands on these books, guys. It is such a good thing to delve into, to learn more about, especially if you've read Daniel and Revelation and you're like, oh, I don't know what's going on here. Have a go at getting these. So every correct answer puts you in the draw. Once again, that question, what unique characteristic did the land of Havilah have according to Genesis? A, gold, B, balm, C, figs, or D, olive oil? Text through to 0491-064-669 if you know the answer.
We'll give a little hint. Hey, it's a bit of a hard question, this one. Genesis chapter 2.
Genesis chapter 2. All right. Have a look.
Shell's narrowed it down.
Well done. So, current affairs. What's in the news? I actually wanted to bring a news here from superstar, famous celebrity, Kanye West. I hope I'm saying his name correctly. He said that he has issues with Jesus and is putting problems into his own hands.
Interesting.
So rapper Kanye West, and this is from Christian Post, who now goes by the name Ye, said in a recent interview that he has issues with Jesus, in quotes, and would rather take things into his own hands instead of giving Jesus full control. West and fellow rapper Ty Dolla $ign, a collaborating artist of his new album, Vultures One, appeared in an interview in a YouTube channel called Big Boy TV. And he said, I have my issues with Jesus, West said. And then again, he quotes, there's a lot of stuff I went through, and I prayed, and I didn't see Jesus show up. So this is, can you believe it, Kanye West. Now, the Bible tells one thing, you know, Brett. James chapter 4, verse 3 says that we pray and we do not receive because we are praying wrongly. We are praying wrongly. We are only praying that we may spend it in our own selfish pleasures. And if we have that attitude of praying, listener, we will not receive anything from the Father above.
Yeah.
So we need to understand how to pray smartly, because where does all of that frustration from Kanye West come from?
He wants his prayers to be answered his way. He's putting his own will on
exactly.
God.
Exactly. He believes he's entitled. He believes that if he asks God whatever, he will receive that. And you know what? I think that a lot of people, a lot of Christians even, think that way. And I believe that this is because of a misunderstanding of a Bible passage that we find in John chapter 14 and verse 13. So John chapter 14 and verse 13 is an often misquoted Bible passage. Jesus said, and he was addressing his disciples, he says, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. That's great, right?
Yeah.
Except that he continues. And he said, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. When Jesus taught the disciples how to pray, in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, the disciples are asking, no, Jesus, can you please teach us how to pray? And Jesus says, when you're praying, pray like this. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your
will be done
on earth as it is in heaven. So when we're praying to God, we're actually praying that God's will be done, unlike what it appears to be what Mr. Yeah is doing. He's praying, my will be done.
Yeah.
And then God is not doing what he wants to do because it's not aligning with God's good wisdom.
Yeah.
And then he says, God is, you know, it's not showing up for me.
And God's will tends to be better than our will would have been anyway. I've noticed, like, sometimes the things I've found in my life, that sometimes the prayers that are not answered for a reason.
And absolutely.
Down the road, you can sort of see why that is. I'll have to at some point tell you the story of how I moved down here, but it's amazing how God can work.
It's amazing, isn't it? And I'll tell you this, you know, when we pray, we have to have that in mind. It's God's glory. Now, people don't understand this unless you are really in love with someone. When you're really in love with someone, when you have children, when you're happily married, when you have a best friend, you want their success.
Oh, 100%.
You will celebrate their success. No exceptions. Now, when we love God, we want His success. We want His name to be glorified. We want Him to be happy, because in His happiness, we'll find our own happiness. Yeah. So when we pray for things, you know, God can be glorified in lots of ways. And I'll tell you this to our listener. When you ask something, God can be glorified in, number one, He can answer your prayer with a supernatural miracle. It is a way of God's name being glorified. Absolutely. God can sometimes answer the prayer by giving that things in a non-supernatural way, in a natural way, and God still be glorified with that.
And
or different thing. But I'll tell you this, God is also glorified when you do not receive what you're praying. Because sometimes when you're suffering, for example, God can be glorified by your perseverance, by your patience, by how you're responding to adversity.
He can teach you lessons.
Look at the life of Job. Job wanted to be healed. He wasn't healed, at least not for a long time. And yet, did he glorify God? Yes, because he says, no, God, you are still worthy to be worshipped. You are still worthy to be followed, even if you slay me. And God needs people who know Him well enough and trust Him enough to say, you know what? I know that ultimately God will bring about justice. He will bring about healing. He will bring about all the good things. He will bring about the kingdom, your kingdom come.
Amen.
Ultimately, that's going to happen. But until then, God, I will trust you. And even if you need to use me to somehow make me a spectacle for other people to see that you're still good no matter what, so be it.
I remember doing
not a message that many people are willing to take.
Yeah. I remember doing a Bible study ages ago, a couple of years ago, so not ages ago, but it was called In the Crucible with Christ. And like, it was a series, and it was this remarkable series in that, you know, sometimes we are actually strengthened, like, by our trials. A crucible is this thing that melts down metal, you know, and reforges it.
We learn new things.
And, we are strengthened by our trials. And I think that's what Kanye is missing. And the fact that he's elevating himself to an almost godhood by saying, I'm going to take it into my own hands. It's madness in a way, because we are demonstrably, as humans, unable to handle things a lot of the time. And so, worth praying for Kanye West or whatever he's calling himself.
You're listening to the Breakfast Show podcast on Faith FM, positively different.
And before our interview with our guest, John Venegas, we would like to give you the opportunity to learn another thing from the Bible and respond to another one of Shels's quizzes. Brett, what's quiz question number three?
Question three, who was the first apostle to be martyred? So to die in defense of the faith and out of his faith to God. As a hint, his brother was also one of the 12. So it was one of the four apostles that had a sibling directly in the apostles there. Who was the first apostle to be martyred?
All right. So if you do know the answer to that question, or even if you don't know the answer to that question, text it in anyway. I will do something here. You know, I think that our listeners should be privileged and should deserve to earn a prize to learn more about God's word. Not only if they get the answer right, but if they're trying.
Yeah.
You know, because trying is a precursor of success.
Yeah. So, and also, there's only 12 apostles. Right. So we've got 12 apostles. Multiple choice. Yeah.
If you don't know, just text any name. And you will be in for the draw of our two books, the Daniel and Revelation commentary sets. You cannot miss that prize. But now, if you do know the answer, 0491-064-669, 0491-064-669. And of course, our question of the day is, what is your most precious, most treasured good item, thing in your life? We want to know from you, listener. But now, John Venegas, welcome to Faith FM, to The Breakfast Show.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having us. It's great to be on.
It's a privilege to have you. So it appears like you are just starting a new school in Gilliston Heights. Is that true?
That is correct. That is correct. Yes. As of the end of January this year, we opened for the first time, our brand new school here, the Heights Learning Community in Gilliston Heights. A new Adventist school for an area that hasn't had one in many years. Nice. So, we're very excited. We've got 9 beautiful little children that are joining us every day, and we're taking inquiries and interest since. So we are looking to build up this small learning community to one that can expand over the coming years.
That is fantastic. John, I want to know from you, the principal, you know, when what is the vision? What is your vision for that school?
Yeah, that's a great question. Look, I'm excited about bringing the gospel and bringing the good news to this area of Maitland that has an emerging population. Like you drive through and you can see the housing estates just popping up left, right, and center.
So there is a high growth area,
real growth corridor. Yeah, and I believe that the good news has not lost its power. I believe the good news. We still have a lot of room in the kingdom as we await the second coming. So I have a vision for a community here that can bring this good news to a new generation, a new generation that is learning new, you know, ways of education, that are learning about innovation. But like I said, that foundational belief that we have a God who saves and who loves all, I believe is at the core of what we do here, of our message, not only as a Christian community, but as an Adventist school. We believe that our goal is to reveal Jesus in everything we do, to reveal him in the way we teach, in the way that we treat the children, the families, and bring that community into a space where they learn about God in a way they may have never seen or learnt before. And up until this moment, you know, most of our kids do not have Christian backgrounds. So it's been a really great challenge for us to be able to start that journey with our children and with our families and be able to, give them a taste of what Jesus is in the classroom.
John, out of interest, in case any of our listeners are around the Gilliston Heights area, you know, that Maitland sort of area, what are we talking about in terms of the range of grades that you have at the moment? Yes. Like, what enrollments are you accepting? Like, what's going on there?
Awesome. So, look, I'll give you a little bit of history. We used to have a school here back in the 1980s. Unfortunately, it closed in the 90s. There wasn't a lot of people out here. You know, we weren't necessarily growing in this area. So it's sort of the property and the building sat here and was used by the local church for many events. And we arrived here a few years ago. We discovered that they were using this site as a bit of a rescue hub. It was known as the sort of the place you came when there were floods, when there were emergencies. This is where the SES, where the emergency services would meet the community. And so as I discovered that, and also we had a food program running out of the site here, I realized that has to sit at the core of who we are, that we are a beacon on a hill. So for us, we've drawn a lot from that Matthew 5, passage about being the light on the hill and keeping open and making sure that we shine. So we have been on the journey to try and get this school open. Unfortunately, we had this little thing called COVID happened a few years ago that sort of slowed us down and restricted a few of our movements, but we're able to open this year. And with that, we sort of put it out there as a primary school for the community to show interest and inquire about. And we kind of got a lot more interest in the lower years than we did in the upper years. So we decided that we would launch this year with a kindergarten year one and year two program.
Nice.
So that is the age group that we are teaching here this year in 2024. And so that's, our nine children, that's the group that we have, a mix between the three grades. Yeah. So at the moment, if you're interested and you're looking for a school and you have a child who, is starting in those grades, we'd love to hear from you. That's who we're focusing on this year. But in 2025, we'll be obviously opening our doors for year three and growing incrementally each grade from that point onwards. And obviously we're looking at our new kindergarten enrollment as well. So, yes.
So, John, it looks like the school is very intentional about building a teaching kids really an integrated model of education, not only with the academics part, the health part, but also the spiritual part as well, and the part of developing a heart of service in these kids. My question is, if you talk to a parent that does not necessarily identify as a Christian or if it does not necessarily, religious, they're wondering, is that school right for me? What's the difference between enrolling them in the Adventist school or, let's say, just a regular public school?
Yes, that's a great question. And that's what we are about. We want to offer them more than what they can get down the road at our state school. We certainly want to focus a lot of our energy on building the principles and the values that our children are in some sense missing out on in some areas of our community. Values and beliefs are a big core of what we do as Christians.
Can you share with us some of the values that, you know, the school is going to be instilling in the children?
Yes. So we've built our mission and our missional statement around three major values that will obviously have sub-values under them. The first one is of inspiration, to inspire. We believe that, you know, anything we do in life, we will do with a lot more zeal and a lot more motivation when we understand what drives it, what the purpose is behind it, the why behind who we are, what we're here to do, what God would want us to do in a community like Gilliston Heights and like Maitland. So we start with inspire, and we want to inspire that sense of faith in a God that can be there at those real pivotal moments of our life when we need a friend, when we need a guide, when we need somebody to love on us. So inspiration and inspiring the children to also inspire each other is our first fundamental value. From that point, we also want to be able to encourage curiosity with the children. We call it inquire. We want the children to ask questions. There is something about education that can be more of a sage on the stage where teachers are the all-knowing person in the room and the children don't bring anything to the table. Yes. We don't believe that at the Heights.
That's
we
great.
Believe that the kids bring a whole lot of knowledge and experience and strengths with them that we want to get to know. So we want to center our learning around each of our learners.
And that's crucial for critical thinking too, isn't it?
Yes. So inquiry is about letting these kids understand that thinking starts with a question. And it doesn't matter what kind of question you have, your question is valid. And we want to honor that question by asking you a question and so on and so forth. Never being afraid to wonder, why is it that this is what it is? And that obviously leads us to a lot of content educationally, but also spiritually, you know, chasing that relationship with God and what that could look like in my life. It's pivotal to forming, you know, a faith basis for them. So we want them to ask questions. We want them to have inquiry minds
and find a joy
in their learning.
I love that concept of a thinking starts with a question.
Yes.
That's phenomenal. And what's the third value?
Yes. And our third value is impact. Mm-hmm. So it's great to know where we come from. It's great to have purpose. It's great to ask questions and to have curiosity about the world around us. But if we don't do something with that, if we don't achieve something with that, if we don't use the gifts and strengths that God has given us, then we really don't fully experience what education is. And so we want our children to understand what it is to impact their community, their family, their school, their club, their sporting, you know, group, wherever they find themselves, how can they make a difference? And so with that, we want to encourage that service and love in action. It's not just in word or in thought. And so we want them to do that even from a little age, even from a five-year-old perspective. How
Fantastic.
Can I impact my classmate? How can I impact my teacher? And today is a great day for that. I don't know if you guys have advertised it at all, but around all of our schools in Australia, we're celebrating Harmony Day today. Harmony Day and Harmony Week has been this week is where we talk about our differences, our cultural differences, and how although we are different, we all belong and that we all can have a place in this world and we can celebrate that. So today we've encouraged our kids to come, you know, either dressed in orange or dressed in their cultural colors or cultural clothing that they might have with their families. Because for us, we want them to see how important it is to value each other and value each other's differences in our lives. So always looking for moments to serve and to be served isn't as important. It's as important for us to look for the need and to try and serve that need. And funnily enough, we have some visitors coming to our school tomorrow to show us what it is to serve. We've been contacted by Avondale University and they are filling a bus with volunteers to come to our school to just clean up and tidy up and landscape our little play area as a demonstration of that love in action that we want to be able to inspire our children
That is awesome.
To inspire, to inquire, and to impact. Those are our three fundamental values, and beneath those sit a very deep sense of purpose and direction.
Like, these are great values. You know, congratulations to you and the team that came up with that. And it's an absolutely concise and very relevant. Now, John, I have a question. You, as a specialist, as in education, as someone that is in that field, I wanted to ask you, what do you think are the main challenges today in Australian education in general? And how are you going to tackle these challenges?
That's a good question. There's a myriad of challenges that we're facing.
Give us maybe one or two.
Yeah, particularly post the pandemic. You know, there are some things that happened during that pandemic that brought to the table a few things that we didn't realize that we were missing out on. And I believe one of them is that that sense of belonging and community. I think that when the pandemic happened and children were forced to learn from home, there was distance created between schools, families, older generation. We used to have, you know, grandparents and parents come into our schools and help with reading and help with volunteering. And that was all sort of closed up during that time. And we've lost a lot from that. You know, there's a lot we can learn from the next generation, even though, you know, our teachers are doing an amazing job in instructing. There is worth and value in connecting our children with that next generation, that grandparent age group that I think we miss out on. And so I think there's been a disconnect, between the home and the school, a disconnect between parents and their expectations and teachers and their expectations and that conversation between the two.
Yes.
That's awesome.
There's a sense of, you know, who's bringing up the child, who's instructing the child with not just values, but also habits and routines. From what I've seen, that there's been a disconnect over the past few years in that conversation between the home and school.
Yes.
Something we'd love to be able to bridge, be able to bring that conversation out and not just leave it there and parents just drop the child off. And that's all they need to hear about.
That's a massive challenge.
As a former teacher myself, like positive relations with the parents is so important. Yes. That is so cool. That's a core value. Yeah.
And it is a challenge because, you know, parents are doing it tough. They're trying to work more than they probably have before. Yes. The, you know, financial pressures at home are just putting so much pressure on their relationships with their children and their household. And so when you're hearing from teachers or you're hearing, you know, either positives or negatives from the school, it's tough. It's tough to understand how do I take that? You know, is it an attack on me? Is it an attack on what I'm doing as a parent? And I feel like we need to be a little bit more connected in that space where we're not here as two different entities. You know, the home and the school should be working as one unit because at the end of the day, we both want to see the best for these children.
100%.
John, it looks like you have some amazing challenges ahead of you. And for that, we definitely wish you all the blessings and the best of times as you build up the Gillison Heights Adventist Schools. But before we go, I actually wanted to ask you, how do our listeners that are interested in enrolling or getting to know more about this school find you?
Yes, great question. And that's, you know, that's what we want. We want to be able to invite and bring along more children to our learning community. So the first thing I would say is check us out on our website. So it's a very easy website to find, and that'll give you a little bit more information and also an opportunity to send through an inquiry or a question for us, or even have a look at our enrollment forms. It's obviously www.theheights.nsw.edu.au. So that's the first point of call that would be probably easiest for most of us. Even now, as you're listening, when you get a chance to check us out on your phone, you'll see a little bit of what we're up to. We also have a Facebook page that will give us a few sort of updates over the next little while. So either the website or give us a call. Our phone number is very easy to remember, 4911-7580. That's 4911-7580. You'll see it on the website as well. If you give us a call during the day, I'd love to chat with you about the possibility of enrolling your child with us, whether it's this year, next year, or in years to come. You know, I've already had a few contacts from families who have only just had children, but they've moved into the area and they'd like to know if we can have them on our future perspective,
fantastic.
For when they become school ready. So,
John,
it doesn't
Venegas.
Matter how old or how young they are, we're very interested in having them join us.
That is amazing. Thank you so much for your time. John Venegas, the principal of the newly instated Gilliston Heights Seventh-day Adventist School, a school with a lot to offer. We thank you so much for your participation, and I hope to see you next time.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Thanks for being a part of the Faith FM family. Join our community on Facebook or get in touch at 1-800-FAITH-FM.